Coming up this Saturday is a chance to enjoy many forms of choral music from many eras, and it's bringing together voices from many different choirs. Thanks to a student at Western Michigan University who's here with me in the studio now for the first time. It's really nice to meet you, Nick Sinkowitz.
I'm really happy to be here.
There's a story behind this, how you brought together 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and kind of 6 different groups to sing on one concert. The program is about an hour long. You can visit on Saturday at 7:30 at First Presbyterian downtown. You've already got a lot on your plate as a music student, so why don't you tell us the story of what brought this project to you and why you feel passionate about it?
Sure. So I work as a music director for the Unitarian Universalist Community Church down on Shaver Road in Portage. And last year, at the end of the year, we were trying to figure out some ways to look at the church's role in a community. And we wanted to do something that kind of stretched our boundaries and brought us to the wider community. And I thought, you know, we should do like some choral concert. And so, you know, we thought maybe doing something just with our ensemble or something of that nature. And I said, well, why don't we bring it further than that? Why don't we go much further than that? And so during the summer, I had a couple connections and I just started, you know, reaching out to groups like the Kalamazoo Male Chorus and the Community Chorale, some of them that you'll see in the concert on Saturday. And it all just started rolling, kind of, just like a big snowball down the hill.
That's terrific. I mentioned you were a student. What year are you at Western?
So I am actually a senior at Western this year.
Okay. So are you a fourth or fifth? I mean, do you have...
I'm actually a third-year senior.
Third-year senior.
Yeah. I received my associate's degree in high school. I was part of one of those, like, early college programs. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of got to expedite my process a little bit at Western. So I'll actually be graduating a year early.
I understand you have 2 majors.
Yeah. So one of my majors, I'm a music major in the BMA program at Western, and I'm also a biochemistry major with a minor in biological sciences.
Well, Nick, this is a lot to take on. Oh my gosh. But obviously you love both.
I love both a lot.
Yeah. Where did you grow up?
So I grew up on the east side of the state, about an hour and 15 minutes north of Detroit, but a far hour and 15 minutes north of Detroit, in a very rural area called Romeo, Michigan. That's where I went to high school. That's where I grew up basically since I was 6 years old. It's very different from here.
What were some of your musical experiences there?
So when I was in middle school, I participated in the band, actually. I played clarinet. When I was about 6, I started playing the piano, doing classical piano. And at 7, I started doing voice lessons. In high school, I was, you know, lead every musical. It was kind of a smaller school setting. So I did a lot of musicals. I music directed some stuff while I was in high school, and I played a lot of piano.
You were qualified to do quite a few things by the time you got out of
high school. I guess so, in Romeo, Michigan. You never know.
That is one of the pluses of small town living, is you fill in roles that are needed and find yourself growing and learning more than you might have otherwise.
Absolutely. And a lot of my mentors there, that was one of the things that I really, really enjoyed, is the connection that I was able to have with them. And it was something that I actually found at Western when I first visited here, was the connection with the faculty and how much they actually cared about their students.
Were you also a church musician at home, or did you acquire that skill here?
No, I was not. We were not very much of a church-going family when I was younger. I started in the piano studio here at Western, and about a month into that, we got an email looking for a pianist at the time for the Unitarian Universalist Community Church. And I came in, I auditioned, and the rest is history. And now I'm the music director there, and I wouldn't go back.
Wow. What did you find there? What kind of congregation?
So Unitarian Universalism is a little bit different, is really different actually, from a lot of the more, Christian area churches. Mm-hmm. But it really focuses on the idea of social justice. And so we do a lot of talks on different social issues like climate change and women's rights and reformative action, education reform and things like that. So it was really surprising to me because I didn't realize that there was a group, a community of people that focused on those sorts of things. And so through that position, I developed a lot, and I still develop. I mean, they gave me a choir a month into me starting as a music major, and I kind of had to jump into it. And I've learned a lot through experience and a lot through my education at Western, and I found a really great sense of community and support there through that.
I'm talking with Nick Sinkowitz, who is a senior at Western Michigan University and also music director at University. Unitarian Universalist Church in Portage, and on top of that has brought together many choral groups from different faiths and different backgrounds to perform on Saturday. That's this coming Saturday at First Presbyterian Church downtown. So picture Bronson Park and First Presbyterian. A beautiful venue that has hosted many a choral concert, especially in partnership with Western, too.
Yep.
You said before we went on the air, you sang in university chorale.
Yeah.
So you must have been part of the choral Christmas program.
Yes.
And,
yeah. I can never get up to the dynamic range of Dr. Kimberly Dunn Adams, but in that community or in that choral Christmas concert. But it's a fantastic event. It's pretty incredible.
It's not that dissimilar from what you've put together, though.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why I'm really, really excited about it, to kind of bring all these groups together, because something like this really hasn't been done before in Kalamazoo.
Well, Nick, you're the guy that's
I guess so.
Just maybe Kalamazoo is another small town for you.
Yep.
So let's talk about this concert.
Sure.
First off, we hear a grand chorus. Who's in the grand chorus?
So the grand chorus is the combination of all the ensembles. And so the grand chorus is about 188 people. So wow. A lot of choristers, a lot of singers. And they'll be performing the opening work, and then they'll be performing the closing work.
And how do you fit them into the sanctuary?
Well, I had to be pretty meticulous about standing arrangements. And so I know when we do like choral Christmas and things, it's about the same amount of singers.
Okay.
And so I worked really hard to make sure that the standing arrangements are well fit, especially for those individuals in some of these groups who have accommodations. And so I really had to sit down and make sure that everybody fits in the space. So we have some funky standing arrangements, but I think it'll be really immersive and fun for the audience.
You know, Nick, I think I should go back to something you said a little earlier about the message that and the focus of your church, Unitarian Universalist, because part of the work of being a music director for any congregation is finding the support material, finding the music with those messages, in your case.
Yeah.
Searching out pieces with inclusiveness, social justice, this kind of thing. So have you been inspired by tracking down these pieces and thinking, I would love to perform these again? Is that kind of something that in the back of your mind is working?
Absolutely. And the big emphasis of this event, I really think, is community. And community involves many different aspects, right? It involves love, it involves willingness, and it involves acceptance. And so when I sat down to pick these, the grand chorus pieces specifically, I really wanted them to revolve around ideas of that and also be accessible to audiences.
So tell us about what you picked for the first piece.
So the first piece that I picked is called Sisi Ni Moja, and it's by Jacob Narvarud. And it's essentially... it's a really cool, wonderful work that involves both a piano and a djembe. So it has some really cool polyrhythmic stuff that's going on. But basically, the message is that it speaks on the idea that, rather cliche idea, but that we're all unique, but we share really common characteristics. So we share things like love. We share things like hate. We all breathe, and we all feel joy and passion. And that's what really the whole piece works on. And it brings home the idea that we are all one world, one people. And I think that's a really great message for the concert, because we have all these different groups from all these different backgrounds coming together to perform and give the same message.
Have you had the chance to conduct this piece before, or will this be your first time?
Well, it will be my first time with the whole grand chorus. Yeah. I've got the distinct pleasure of traveling to each ensemble and rehearsing them for about 30 minutes on each of these pieces. And so I've got to experience each one of their different groups and how they work things. And so it'll be a challenge with them all together, but I think it'll be quite wonderful.
This event is called Kalamazoo Community Choral Concert, and it's taking place Saturday at 7:30 at First Presbyterian Church. There is admission at the door, and you can find out more through Facebook. There's also an event posted to Eventbrite. Kalamazoo Community Choral Concert is all you need to look for. And we are about to learn about the groups now that, that you brought together. Starts with grand chorus, and then you feature the Kalamazoo Male Chorus, which has a long history.
Yeah.
Over 90 years in Kalamazoo.
Yeah, so the Kalamazoo Male Chorus, as you said, has been around for 90 years, over 90 years. And so they meet at Tuesday nights from 7 to 9 at the Maple Street Magnet School. And right now, I believe that are around 40 members, and their director is Eric Jacobson, and their pianist is Tina Gorder. They're really a wonderful, wonderful group of individuals. And they have the age, you know, is a large span. They have college students who are there, and they also have really older individuals who just enjoy singing and enjoy the art form. And the really interesting thing about the male chorus as well is they actually have a scholarship program for students who are interested in singing with them. And by the Irving S. Gilmore Foundation, that they provide stipends for these students who want to participate in the music.
They've been doing that for several years.
Yeah. And it's quite wonderful. And it's really cool that you're able to bring these students who may not even have a music background into the choral music world and to have that sense of community.
Huh. How lovely. Well, and what's interesting about male chorus, the Kalamazoo Male Chorus, it's like many other groups that started around 90 years ago as social time for men,
yep.
You know, out of work, often associated with a business or a company. They would often start as, you know, factory choirs.
Yeah.
But it has become open to anyone but for male voices.
Mm-hmm.
And the social aspect is still very strong.
Absolutely.
With these guys.
Absolutely.
They will perform a couple selections, and it looks like they're getting us ready for the season as well.
Yeah. they'll be performing Happy Together, and they'll also be performing, you know, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. The cool thing about this concert is that when I was speaking with some of these directors is that a lot of them, you know, only do a Christmas concert. And so a lot of these groups just prepare for Christmas, and then they prepare for a spring concert. And so although we might have one or two little Merry Little Christmases in here, it's very cool for them to be able to perform works that they might not necessarily get to perform because, you know, they were preparing for a Christmas concert.
Mm-hmm. And the male chorus is always the first week of December. They have their Christmas offering. Then comes the Mall City Harmonizers.
Yeah.
Describe this group.
So the Mall City Harmonizers, they're an a cappella chorus, but they particularly specialize in barbershop stuff, so American songbook stuff. And so they've been around since like 1941.
Oh,
so they've also been around for a very, very long time. They also have Tuesday night rehearsals at People's Church. Their director is David Wolf, and they comprise about 20 members. I visited them a couple weeks ago, and they performed some of their works for me, When You Wish Upon a Star and Bare Necessities, and it's so much fun. They just have so much fun. They really, really enjoy the pieces that they're singing, and it's just a group of guys just performing barbershop music.
So also male voices in this case.
Yep.
Yeah, from that tradition of barbershop singing. Cool. But for 20 people, they can pull it off? Yes.
Really, really well. The energy that comes out of this group is quite remarkable.
Now, I'm not assuming that you would have heard of these folks when you came to school.
No.
How did you learn about some of these choirs.
So it was kind of like that ball rolling effect, like the snowball down the hill I was telling you about. I first contacted Eric Jacobson with the Kalamazoo Male Chorus and my other conductor for the People's Church, Savannah Ramsey. And so we kind of sat down and we said, okay, what groups do we have in Kalamazoo that I might not even be familiar with? And so that's basically how that got started. Is just we started talking and we created a list and then we just started contacting people and seeing if they may be interested.
The concert, by the way, is Saturday at 7:30 at First Presbyterian downtown. And yes, we'll be naming several churches and congregations as well as choirs as I talk to Nick Sinkowitz. But remember that, First Pres at 7:30 on Saturday. And Kalamazoo Community Choral Concert is the name of the event. Let's move on from Mall City Harmonizers to the Unitarian Universalist Community Chorus.
Absolutely.
This is your.
This is mine. This is me. And also Savannah Ramsey's over at People's Church. So basically, what this choir is comprised of is it's the combination of both of our congregations. So it's the combination of my choral ensemble at the UU Community Church, Unitarian Universalist Community Church, and also the ensemble at People's Church. Both Unitarian Universalist congregations. And it's the combination of the two. And so we have about 30 members. They also vary in age and voice part. And we do perform for Sunday services, you know, and we also perform for our Christmas Eve service every year. But it's quite a fun group. It's comprised mostly of older individuals that are just looking to have fun and that are just looking to sing. It's mostly non-singers. And it really just gives them the opportunity to learn and to grow through choral music.
Well, you know, I'm looking at the selections, and these pieces look like kind of the heart of the program in a way. They're the most sincere kind of pieces with like the direct message.
Yeah, so the pieces I selected were kind of in contrast to what some of the other groups were picking. Some of it's a little bit more upbeat. A lot of these other ones you'll see have a strong message as well, but these are a little bit more sensitive. So for example, Set Me as a Seal, the text reflects like a selfish ownership. So it's basically talking about a relationship in which each partner only seeks good in each other.
It's ancient.
Ancient, yeah.
I mean, from Song of Solomon.
Yep, yeah. And it's very old. And the interesting part about this setting of it is it's not viewed from so much a religious context. It's viewed from more a secular context, yeah. Really talking about the story of this.
These are love poems.
Yeah, and there's actually the arrangement of this is a bass solo with choir. And the bass solo will actually be done by Samuel Macy, who's a second-year master's student in vocal performance at Western. So it really reflects the conversational nature of this text between the two partners developing the selfless relationship.
Nice.
Yeah.
And the second piece, Oh Love.
Oh Love is also pretty ancient, too.
Is it?
Well, not that old, but George Matheson was a famous hymn writer. And this piece focuses on a time of severe mental suffering for him. So here's the rumored legend, essentially, is that George is a famous hymn writer, and George Matheson was also blind. And he wrote this hymn the night before his sister was to be married. And his sister was his primary caretaker at the time. And he, essentially, what has been speculated is that he was very vulnerable because his sister was his caretaker, and now no one was going to be there to take care of him. He was going to be alone. And so he wrote this text in under 5 minutes. It's five verses in total. The piece specifically focuses on three of those verses. But it basically speaks about a love that will not let him go and a love that is always there for them. Just an extreme time of an emotional vulnerability. And it's quite beautiful. Elaine Hagenbird's setting of this is amazing.
So the words are by George Matheson.
Yep.
And it was set later on in a more modern style or a very plain style?
It's pretty modern in the context of the music, uh-huh. Some of the harmonies that are used and things like that. But there's been some other arrangements of it as well, performed by other ensembles.
You know what I love so much about going to a choir concert is because it makes me focus on the text, on poetry,
yep.
On poetry that I would speed read otherwise.
Yeah.
But when a composer like Elaine Hagenbourg focuses on one syllable of one word. You know, you sit in it. You just, you're there for as long as she wants you to be.
Yep.
And it allows so many more layers of meaning to occur. And it's my best way of, my favorite way of listening, of reading poetry.
Absolutely.
Is listening to settings.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things I wanted to do with at least the grand chorus pieces and the pieces that we picked for our chorus, is that to make them accessible for audiences to listen to. And so, you know, one of those things is slightly putting it in English for the most part, but also just giving a text that really reflects human emotion and relationship.
Well, that's, we're about halfway through, I think, at
yeah.
this point. That's the Unitarian Universalist Community Chorus, which brings together two congregations mm-hmm. In works Set Me as a Seal and O Love. And then we're with a group of women singers, right? The
yep.
Kalamazoo Community Chorale from
yeah.
First United Methodist Church.
So they actually rehearse at the Maple Street Magnet School on Monday nights from 7 to 9. They've been around since 1934. So they've been around for also a pretty long time. Their director is Jacqueline Stigler, and their pianist is Carrie Miller. And right now they're actually sitting at about 70 members. So they have a very, very, very large ensemble. When I went and visited there, they're quite an incredible group of individuals. And like I said, it's very similar to the male chorus in the fact that you have age that is spanning, you know, generations. We have 19-year-olds that I met there who are some of my friends at Western. And also we have some older individuals there as well, but all just there because they love to sing.
And a very dynamic conductor in Jackie Stilger. She's,
absolutely.
She has been the director for probably over 10 years now, and welcomes all singers and chooses some really interesting repertoire that sometimes features solo voices and sometimes more full choral pieces.
Mm-hmm.
What do you plan on hearing from the Kalamazoo Community Chorale on Saturday?
So the first piece we're planning on hearing is Glow, which is by Eric Whitaker. It was written for the World of Color for a Winter Dream show, which is at Disney Parks. and it ran through the holiday season. But it basically talks about the winter coming in and the season that is going to be born. And so it's a really beautiful, Whitaker's setting is quite beautiful, of just the softly falling morning snow.
Has he ever written anything that wasn't quite, quite beautiful, you know?
Well, it's interesting too, because this piece is also a challenge. It's got some very difficult harmonies. It's got some very difficult sections, and I know they're gonna pull it off really, really, really well. And they're gonna do a fantastic job with it.
They have a second piece prepared as well.
Yeah, they're going to be performing Clear Water. So that's music is by Robert Hugh, text by John Masefield and Henry Longfellow. And so it was actually written for the opening of a state park, Norwalk State Park in Connecticut. It flows. There's this Norwalk River that flows into Long Island Sound. And so it's just really reflecting the flow of water into the ocean.
What a special piece.
It's beautiful. It's both of these. So you have both of these like more natural pieces talking about winter and also talking about this flowing of water.
I'm talking to Nick Sinkowitz, who is a student at Western Michigan University in both music and biochemistry,
mm-hmm.
and is also music director at the Unitarian Universalist Church in Allen Shaver Road in Portage.
Yep.
And just dreamed up this concert several months ago, talked to a lot of people, and there will be six choral groups performing about an hour's worth of music on Saturday at 7:30 p.m. There is an admission. It's not too high,
mm-hmm.
and you can find details at Kalamazoo Community Choral Concert on Facebook or Eventbrite. So the West Michigan Gay Men's Chorus
yeah.
is next up, and I am embarrassed to say I haven't encountered the group. So have they also been around since the 1930s? Because I feel really bad.
No. So I actually was not aware of them either until I started doing some really good digging. And so they're actually in Grand Rapids. They're a Grand Rapids local group, they rehearse on Wednesday nights. But they only began in 2008. So they haven't been around, you know, they've been around for about 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really wonderful group. They're composed, I believe, right now about 40 members, and they welcome all voices. So they welcome male, female, non-binary, and gay and straight individuals to their group. And they perform a bunch of concerts. So they have a Christmas concert, they do cabarets, they do spring concerts, and they do a lot of community events, such as Grand Rapids Pride.
Good to know.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize you had out-of-towners coming in for this
concert. Yeah, and so I thought it would be really, really cool to bring in a group in West Michigan, and also a different group from what we're already seeing, right? We have, you know, we have a women's chorus, we have a male chorus, we have barbershop, we have a church chorus, and now we have a gay men's chorus.
You're mentioning all of the nights each group practices. Is that because you needed to go to the practices?
I did need to go to the practices. But also one of the cool things about this concert as well is that all of the groups are non-auditioned and open for participation. So that's one of the really awesome things
about this. You're
hinting. I'm hinting at something, yeah.
People, is your Tuesday night free?
Yeah.
Is your Wednesday night free?
Exactly. And so that's something we'll touch on in the concert a lot, but it's just the idea of, you know, we have this great sense of community and music, and that other people that are in the audience, that are in the community, are more than welcome to join some of these groups. And just showing them some of the music that they perform that's unique to their ensembles, and showcasing to them the kind of community that builds within those ensembles.
What are we going to hear from the gay men's chorus?
So we're going to hear Pure Imagination. So it was, you know, it's a song, you know, it was written for Willy Wonka originally.
It's actually kind of a poignant song.
So it was written by Leslie Bercuse and Anthony Newley, and it's, you know, there's many different arrangements of it, because they chose the song because it expresses the want for a changing world. And I think that really resonates with the core message of their chorus. Mm-hmm. You know, that social change, that social justice, moving things forward. And so I think it'll be a wonderful addition to the concert, in addition to Why We Sing. And Why We Sing is the other piece they're performing. And this is kind of their anthem for the group. So it tries to create change one voice at a time in a world that is sometimes not as accepting. And the song closes out every one of their concerts. And so it comes up at the end of our concert before our grand chorus piece, but it kind of closes our concert as well. And so both of the pieces speak really truly to their ensemble and to kind of the concert as a whole.
I'm just thinking about acceptance and how healing it is and how healing music is at the same time. I mean, just knowing that people think you're okay.
Absolutely.
It's so important.
And that's one of the wonderful things about this concert and about these groups, is that it's a place where you can feel accepted and loved. In a world, you know, where it's all changing and things might not seem as great, music is the one place where we can walk away from that, and where audiences can walk away from that. And for a moment, whether you're sitting and watching a performance or performing a piece, you kind of get transported. And you can focus on music and music alone and beauty from this music for the sake of that beauty.
So, Nick, you have to wrap it up with something pretty great for the grand chorus. 188 mm-hmm. singers, individuals, people all together, plus the congregation or the audience will be feeling it too. So mm-hmm. So what did you choose for grand chorus piece?
So for the final piece, I chose There's Gonna Be a Homecoming by Kyle Peterson. And Kyle Peterson is a relatively new composer. He was actually a high school geography teacher for a while until he decided to go get his master's in music.
We stole one.
I know. And so this work was written in response to a Queer Eye episode. I'm sure you're probably familiar with something like that. But Queer Eye.
For the strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. The makeover show. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Queer Eye is a kind of a makeover show, but it focuses on the Fab Five, which is five gay men who, you know, go around the country and really help people, whether it be in their lives because of a bad situation, or because they just need assistance in some other area. And it's really a wonderful show. And this comes from season 2, episode 1, where we are in gay Georgia. And it's a very conservative area, believe it or not. And it focuses on this woman who is planning a church homecoming service. And a church homecoming service is basically when all of the people who haven't come to the church in a while or who have been out of town come for this service. And it's basically a big celebration. Well, her son, who is in college and is graduating, has recently come out as gay. And his mother knows, and his mother was not quite accepting at first and then kind of melded to being more accepting. But he is very nervous about coming back for the homecoming service. Mm-hmm. He's from a very conservative area. He's worried that people won't accept him and he will kind of be banished out from the congregation. And he decides to go, thanks to the Fab Five, and he goes, and, you know, he's super concerned. He's super worried at what's going to happen. And his mother goes up there and gives this wonderfully beautiful speech about how you must love unconditionally. Unconditional love and what that means. And it's beautiful and everybody cries. And it's quite a remarkable episode. And so this song really touches on that and how this piece focuses on how community and love can bring people together, cultivating compassion and acceptance.
Kyle Peterson is the composer who wrote this piece thanks to pop culture.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
He talks about how right after the episode, he walked over to the piano and started tinkling on the keys because he was just so inspired by the message that this episode brought and the message that was underlying between this whole thing.
Well, I can feel the enthusiasm coming from you, Nick, on this whole program. We're going to wrap up now by listening to this one piece, this very special piece. There's going to be a homecoming by Kyle Peterson. So at this point, is there anything we left off the table or any appeal you'd like to make to folks for Saturday night?
I would just say that we would really love to see you all there. And these groups are so excited to be able to perform in this larger setting. And the more people we have there, the better the audience will be and the better the reception and the better the message will spread.
It's going to be a big sound.
It will be a very big sound.
Okay, Nick, it's been great to meet you.
You too.
I look forward to hearing about your future projects as well. Let's listen to There's Going to Be a Homecoming here on Let's Hear It.